And then I went and bought me,
sitting around talking to each other at work, I bought me my crystal. I bought that at Robinson. Then I went to the Broadway and bought my dishes. My dishes from England. That is my stuff from England. This is my baby's set. This is the little baby, Vanessa's. That belonged to Vanessa. Vanessa have that, and she have the tiny set, the one that she learned to eat with. And this, when I bought this, this was $43, I think. All of this was $43 a play setting. And this, these two pieces right here cost 50-some dollars. And they were just accidentally on sale. And here is sort of like my teaspoon. This is a teaspoon like she paid $7 for. This is $37 now. And it's ridiculous. It's out. You couldn't buy it now. I couldn't dare afford it. But I was sure glad that I did talk to Elma, and she talked me into it. So she talked me into buying a lot of things like that. I bought far more things than she bought, though. Uh-huh. But she talked me into it, and she talked me into going to a school. It was called a self-improvement school. So we went to this self-improvement school, and I think we must have paid about $30 or $40. That was in 1950-something. I sure did enjoy this school. The woman, I think the woman's name was Miss Bachman. And we really enjoyed going to that school. And she's the one that, Alma's the one, calls me to continue to go to school ever so often, just for anything. It didn't make any difference what you're going for, just since you go. It's relaxing, and it keeps you busy, and you can learn something if you really want to. So those are the things we sat around and talked about, and I was the one doing all the traveling. I traveled more than anybody at that time during the, when we was at North America. First, we used to have a little piece in the paper where it was a little traveling piece in the Times. I've always taken the Times. I've been taking the Times for 30-some years. Mm-hmm. So I would have a little old trip, and they'd make little small trips all around here in California. Then they got to the place where they started making trips further out and further out. And I went to as many of the places as I possibly could because I enjoyed going and I liked them. And we'd come back, and Alma got her movie camera, but I never did want a movie camera. I did get some slides. But I never did get the project and all that stuff. I don't know why I just didn't do it, but I could have. Just didn't bother with doing it. But that was what we'd talk about, traveling, and then we decided to go places, and that's how we made it.
What was the self-improvement course about?
Oh, it was, it covered a lot of stuff. It was one of those fast deals, you know, like a very fast course. And it told you how to do a lot of things, such as it would tell you how to walk into a room proper and how to sit down and how to get in and out of a car and how to fix yourself up and how to present yourself to people and how to dress and what was expected out of you and what you're supposed to do with yourself. And it was just a general course on a lot of things. It would tell you, oh, and here's one of the things it said in there. And I always like to talk about it, and people always want to kind of turn up their nose about it, but you'd be surprised. The woman told us how to take a bath. And she said, because a lot of people go in to take a bath, they don't take it proper. All they do is run in the shower and run out. And she says, and they call that a bath. And she said, a bath is a bath that you sit down in the tub, which a lot of people don't like to do. And one of the things she said that I notice a lot of people don't like to do and don't do, and that is when you take a bath, brush your feet. She said, get you a brush and brush your feet and keep your nails clean down around your feet and brush off that old dead skin under your feet, because so many people have such a big pile up of dead skin under their feet and around their toenails, too. So it's such simple things as that. Well, just so many little small things that you take for granted, you know. That's what she told you.
a lot of things like that. And just like a lot of people today, when they come into a room, they don't know what's the first thing to look for in that room. And they just walk in, and that's why we have so much disaster. When you walk into the room, the first thing you're supposed to do is look for another exit. Mm-hmm. That is the first thing. And if a many a person, you ask them that, and they say, well, I wasn't planning on this and that. Well, that's not what you're planning on. You're supposed to just do it anyway. Uh-huh. And sometimes it would be a good idea if you go try that door and see if it worked. Mm-hmm. And because you don't know what might happen, that you might have to come out of there, and you might not come out the door you went in. Mm-hmm. So you want to find out, is there another door working? So those, just as I said, the simple things like that that we talked about in the class. Mm-hmm. And she told us how to buy jewelry and how to buy stuff like perfume and clothes to buy, and you know, if you couldn't afford certain things, how to, you know, make it on a small amount, and how to just buy one dress and dress it up and down if that's the best you could do. And then it also said there are certain times in life when you are supposed to splurge on, you know, do a big something. Well, okay, you can't do it every day, but just like maybe you want to go to your niece's wedding, and she's having a great big wedding, and you have some children, but you don't ever think that you'll have a big wedding. So fine, so go there and dress all up and be, you know, and do like you want to do that, because you might not have a chance to do it again. So it's simple things like that that we was told to do.
Mm-hmm. When your husband came back from the service, had he changed much?
I don't think so. He was the same. He wasn't too much when he left, and he wasn't too much when he came back. He's just, you know, just went along with the program. Mm-hmm. But Byrus, not being in Texas when he came back, naturally that did change things, because that was his first time of ever leaving home, more or less being on his own. So I guess he did have to adjust, but I guess I didn't pay too much attention.
Mm-hmm. The last time we talked, you mentioned to me that you were a pusher. Meaning that I think you're talking about between the two of you. That,
yes.
I was wondering if you could talk more about that, in what ways you were a pusher.
Well, I always had to be at head of the family. I always had to decide what he was going to do, and I always had to sort of like if we was going somewhere, I had to say, well, I think we ought to go up to Yosemite for the summer. Well, he never would come out and say, I think we ought to go up to, you know. But he went along with the program. Then he would start preparing and getting ready and so forth and so on. The same way it was with buying things in the house. When time comes for buying something, I always had to say, we have to have this, we need that, or the other. Very seldom he would come up with anything like that. And if I said, well, we need to, let's save some money for whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. He couldn't, he just never was a good suggester, or whatever you like to call it. He just wasn't in head of the thing. You know how you feel like a man should be at the head of the family and doing something. He went along with me, but he never was in front. Mm-hmm. So I had to always suggest and, just like when time come to buy a house, he was made him nervous to look for a house. So the first thing he saw, he was ready to buy that, and that was that, you know. So anything to get off the hook. Mm-hmm. So I had to see to that. And you know, you get tired of that after a while. You think that's a good idea, but it isn't. And then you always got to be the one to see to it that everything is taken care of. But if you don't do it, it won't get done. So you got to do something. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did after you would suggest things, would he? Would you also have to do a lot of the planning about how it would get done?
Not necessarily. Not all the time. Sometimes he would get in and get it together. He'd once I kind of introduced him to whatever was going to take place, he would go along with the program pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Were there any things that you disagreed on?
Yes, we disagreed on him going to school. I wanted him to go to school, and he would not go.
Mm-hmm.
He went to school when he came out of the service and took up tailoring. And that wasn't too good of a job in the end, so he had to give it up and went back to pressing clothes, because he always pressed clothes. That was his main thing, was pressing clothes, so he didn't like that. He wanted to get away from pressing clothes, so he thought he'd stay in the tailoring business. He thought, well, maybe someday I'll get a job as a tailor and in a pressing shop, and I could run this and that and the other. But then after he looked the situation over, I told him that wasn't going to work. So we got to talking about something and somehow or another, and I tried to suggest that he come out there and work at North America, but he didn't want to come out there right away, so he come halted around for a long time, and he didn't want to come out. So I just kept on him and worried him and nagged him until finally he decided he would come out there and go to work, so he did, and he was very happy that he did in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And he said afterwards that he didn't go to school. Just before he died, a matter of months, I think, he said, if I'd had my life to live over, I sure would go to school and finish it. I would go and take up law. Not that I would want to be a lawyer, but I would know more about the common things of life.
Mm-hmm. How did he feel about your working?
Well, I wanted to go back to school and finish school. That's what I wanted to do. But I don't know the proper words to use, but he was so something about it. He did not really and truly want me to quit working to go to school, because he was so afraid if I quit working and go to school that he couldn't carry on without my salary. So that's what I think, you know. I really don't know exactly, but that's the message I seem to get, that he didn't want me to go back to school because he just keep on working. You're doing all right. You're making a good salary. You're doing about as well as some of the rest, and some of the people up there working, and in the school business, they have their problems, which they have, but we have problems everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no perfect nothing. But he did not want me to go to school. And whenever I tried, he was always, that was one of our pet peeves. Whenever I tried to go to school, he always fussed about it. He always found faults with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did, when you became pregnant with Beverly, had you planned to be pregnant?
Yeah, I was wanting to. I didn't exactly plan it, you know, but if I got pregnant, I was very happy, because I had been married 2 years, and I hadn't been pregnant at all, and I wanted to be. I was waiting for a child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like you thought, well, it'll be right at this time, that you had thought about having a child?
Yeah, I had wanted one all along, so she was just so slow coming, that was all.
Uh-huh. Had you thought about what would happen in terms of working and things like that when you were pregnant?
Oh, no, I knew I was going to have a babysitter, so I didn't worry about that.
Uh-huh. So you had planned to go back to work?
Yeah, I planned to go back to work.
Uh-huh. Had he agreed that would be?
Yeah, he agreed that that was all right.
Mm-hmm. I know that you worked during a part of the time that you were pregnant.
I did.
What was that like? Was that,
it wasn't hard.
It wasn't?
No.
Was there any objection from the company?
No, they let you work. I've forgotten how long you could work if it didn't bother you. I think I worked about 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And the real reason I quit was I was 26 or 27, I've forgotten how old I was, and I had never had the chicken pops. And I came up with the chicken pops. So when I come up with the chicken pops, and then I just quit. I just gave up then.
Mm-hmm. Were you worried at that time?
Well, I had never had any. But see, I came from a very small community where those type of disease just didn't come in the community, because we wasn't a we were sort of isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody had it, nobody brought it in, because nobody went no place, so we didn't have no way of getting them in. So I was kind of frustrated over the fact that I had to wait until I was 20-some years old before I got the chicken pox.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you have any difficulties or problems during the pregnancy?
I didn't have any at all. I never took one nap the whole time I was pregnant. I never stopped anything. But when time comes for me to have that baby, I stayed in labor. I was trying to have that baby backwards and forward or whatever it was. I thought I counted 72 hours. And I was just give out, wore out. But not all. Now, I wasn't having pain every day, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because I went to the hospital Tuesday morning before day. And I had started discharge. So, and I had a few pains. But evidently they stopped. And I didn't have her until Thursday evening at 5:29. And I was just give out, wore out.
Mm-hmm. So that you had her in a hospital?
I had her in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Had you gone through any kind of special preparation about what would happen during labor, or had anyone talked to you?
Well, you know how we always talk to old wives' tales and what
mm-hmm.
have you and all that type of stuff, and I did go to the doctor, but I didn't, let me see, I don't know what I wasn't prepared for. I've always been able to take care of myself in most situations I ever get in, so I wasn't too bad off in a way. I knew I was in the hospital, I knew I was getting a good treatment, but what worried me after the whole ordeal was over with, I was out here in the general hospital. Nobody came to see me. My mama didn't come, my two sisters didn't come, and my husband didn't come. And they told me that they kept calling, and they said I was all right, but I just hadn't had the baby yet. And I felt like they should have come out there to see me in person, but they didn't. And they said that the doctors always call them, and it was during the war, and everybody was so crowded and this, and they said, well, you all right? If anything goes wrong, we'll let you know. That was the only thing that upset me, was the fact that after it was all over with, that they didn't come out there and check me out soon.
Mm-hmm.
But I gave birth to a natural, so it wasn't that bad, so I guess it was all right. But in those days, they set you up on a table with your feet like this down,
mm-hmm.
and they put a strap here, I think, on your feet. No, you have your hands up like this, and they have a strap here, and a strap here, and a strap here, I think, down there. So they put the first table they put me on. I don't know what I said or what I did. I guess I said, oof, and I broke all four straps. They took me off of that table and set me on another table. And no sooner than they got me on there and got me strapped down, I said, and I broke all four straps. And somebody said, well, put her on. A doctor says, no, we'll not have her break up all the straps in here. Just let her alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat up there without the straps on, and I didn't have no problem. By that time, they knocked me out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I got just what I wanted, a little girl.
So you've been hoping for
her? I was hoping for a girl. I had bought everything for a little girl. I even bought her a silver cup, and I had put the baby's name on it.
Uh-huh.
I had put Beverly on it. I had it engraved with Beverly.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't I have been disappointed?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's awake up there.
If you let me know if you need to stop at all.
Yeah, I will.
But, had you read any baby books?
Yeah, I read baby books, and I'd been around people that had babies before, and but I was 27 years old, so I wasn't a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew a lot about babies. I knew how to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
I also know if you have a baby and you're out there alone and you don't know what to do, you take this finger here,
mm-hmm.
and this finger from here to here is 3 inches.
Mm-hmm.
An ordinary person. And you see these little marks in there, like the little joints in there, that's probably an inch. So you do that, and you measure one more inch over here, you guess another inch over there, and you take the cord,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you put that cord, you get your string, and if you don't have a string, you make you one. You tear off a string off of your undergarment. That is the cleanest thing it is that a woman have. And if you, when you pull that string off of there, and if you don't think it's clean like that, you take it and you put it in your hand like this, and you hold it.
Mm-hmm.
And you hold it.
It's like folding your fingers?
It's like folding your fingers, and you mm-hmm. hold it in there like that, and you guess how long 20 seconds is.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to hold it a little bit longer, you know you hold it a little bit longer, then you got it together. You don't have it crunched up like that. You try to leave it as open as possible, and
mm-hmm.
and put it in the palm of your hand, like, and just like that, and hold it there. That is supposed to kill the germs.
Mm-hmm.
And they claim that your hands will kill the germs in 20 seconds
mm-hmm.
once it hit there.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the, what you call them, the microscopic germs that you don't know anything about, and then you take it and you put it under the baby's the cord
mm-hmm.
and then you tie it, and you tie it with a square knot. And if you don't know how to tie a square knot, do the best you can.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get some scissors, if you have some scissors, and clip it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's all you can do.
Where did you learn that from?
Oh, from my grandmother and from my cousins, and
mm-hmm.
first one and then the other one.
So the people who were doing the midwife.
Yeah.
They,
you know how they get to talking and to tell things like that. So I wasn't afraid. I felt like I'd handle it
uh-huh.
if I'd have been left alone.
So you weren't worried about if you went suddenly into labor?
Yeah, no, I wasn't worried about it. I knew it was a normal thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of when.
Mm-hmm. Did you, with the baby books things about like early childhood type things too, or talking about also like Dr. Spock type books? Or?
Yeah, I read all those books too. I really did. I looked at them and I remember too the things that we used to do. One of the things that we were supposed to do as children, you know, you're supposed to make the baby some mint tea.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first drink of water you're supposed to have. You're supposed to make your little mint tea and give that to the baby one way or the other. So it's a lot of little old home remedies that we use.
Mm-hmm.
I never had to carry my girl to the doctor for one emergency, and I tried to get her not to do that, and she cut herself right there on the washing machine.
Mm-hmm.
Ran into it, the forehead, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had to take her there to get some stitches
mm-hmm.
put in. Other than that, I survived. She never got a hold of any poison, neither did she get a hold of any medicine,
mm-hmm.
Anything like that. So.
Mm-hmm.